Welcome to the Mary Valone Show. I'm your host, Mary Valone, and you're listening to episode 34. Today's episode is called How to Fundraise in the Midst of a Disaster Like Hurricane Harvey. And before we jump in, I'd like to have you mark your calendar because this Friday, September 8th, is our next Fundraising Freedom Fellowship. Once a month, I'd like to bring together the members of our tribe and invite you to be a part of a gathering of like-minded fundraisers to be able just to ask your questions and chat about a topic that might be relevant to you as a fundraiser. This month, this September, we're going to be talking about your questions. So come ready, bring your questions, and this will be a time of Q&A. So to find out the call-in information and how to be a part of the Fundraising Freedom Fellowship, just jump on Facebook, and you can find Fundraising Freedom Tribe, which is our closed group, where you can come and find out more information about that. And if you're about a part of our tribe, you can find the link right there in our group. So be sure to be a part of that. I enjoy coming together just once a month to be able to serve you guys better, to be able to talk about whatever's going on in your world that you may have questions about, and maybe just a time to give you some encouragement around your fundraising. And so I invite you to come join us. It's going to be at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time this Friday, September 8th. So be sure to mark your calendar and join us then. So let's talk about how to fundraise in the midst of a disaster like Hurricane Harvey. I don't know about you, but I've experienced a couple disasters in my past, in 1997, I was a part of the flood of the Red River up in Grand Forks, North Dakota. And that was my junior year of high school. And we completely had to evacuate our entire town. And I don't believe we went to school after about November. We never had a full week of school after that. And then we completely closed down for the entire spring season. So we were completely out of school and kind of on our own trying to figure out what was next. And so it was a crazy time. And then again in 2013, I was a part of, I was traveling from North Dakota coming back home when the tornado hit Joplin, Missouri. And so I kind of veered off towards Joplin, but then got, you know, kind of pushed away to back towards Springfield, Missouri. So just 2 days later, I was able to come back and get into Joplin and be a part of that. But in both of those situations, it was crazy to think about how many organizations were being impacted and how that was going to impact people and individuals who were raising funds for organizations that didn't have to do with disaster relief or didn't have to necessarily directly impact what was happening with those disasters. And so the other day I had a coaching call, and one of my coaching clients had brought this question up. How do you fundraise when you're in the middle of a disaster in your country, or let alone, I mean, whether it's 9/11, you know, tornadoes or earthquakes or you name it, whatever, tsunamis that are happening in other countries. What do we do as fundraisers in order to continue our mission, to be able to continue to raise funds for our cause? And I want to give you two options today. So my suggestion to you is that you either take one of two routes. You either, one, just completely pause your fundraising for the season for just a short period, or two, move forward with caution. And that first one, to pause your fundraising and just take a break. When the tornado hit Joplin, that was, I mean, we were an hour away, and I couldn't even imagine thinking about raising money for cancer when my coworkers were displaced from their home. And so the only thing we could think of was that we just needed to pack up and start helping people who are cancer patients who are dealing with this. And so taking time just to pause and to assess the situation and see how you can really impact the people around you is really, really important. I mean, I had a volunteer who called me during that season, and it was probably within 48 hours of the tornado hitting. And I was really surprised that I had gotten a call from one of my volunteers still working on our stuff, because I kind of felt like the whole world had paused in that season. And so just like with Hurricane Harvey, I mean, right now the death toll is at 53, And I mean, there's a lot of people who are not at work and not in school, and there's a lot of help that's being needed. And so it is hard. It's hard to imagine what you can do as a fundraiser for your own cause when it seems like it would be so heartless to just keep moving forward as though nothing happened. And that's where addressing what is going on in the rest of the world is important. And as you talk to people about your cause, and as you're continuing to build relationships with people, just remember that not everyone has a heart for disaster relief. And so there's a good chance that even though this is happening, you know, in our country, and maybe it is happening really close to where you live, that not everybody is going to be shut down because of it, or that not everybody is going to, you know, have an interest in supporting it. So to assume that the whole world has decided that this is the most important cause and the most important thing to give to is just not the case. And there are a lot of really wonderful people who are supporting during this time, but that doesn't mean that they wouldn't still want to give to you. So I think that that's where we have to really remember that your cause is important, and it's not worth putting on the back burner, even though it feels like it might be a bit insensitive during this season. So, but I do suggest that, you know, whenever a disaster hits, that it is, I mean, it's okay to just pause for, a few days, a week, a couple weeks, depending on how close you are to what's going on, and to go and help and jump in and serve your people well. If you have a cause that has a connection, or your cause is serving people that might be going through, you know, have family members or be going through something tragic themselves, it's important to address it. I know when I was dealing with the tornado in Joplin, the first thing I said when I picked up the phone was, you know, asking them specifically if they had any family members that were a part of it. And of course, I had family members who lost loved ones, or I mean, I had volunteers who had family members who lost loved ones. And so it was really, it hit home. It hit home for a lot of my volunteers and for the people that I served. And so we couldn't, I mean, there was no way to avoid it. It was in every conversation. It had, like, the energy of that situation had really, like, come into every facet of what we did. And as soon as I got an opportunity to go down there and go see what had happened, I mean, I came back and it almost was debilitating. I had a hard time getting, you know, geared back up to go back to my fundraising because it was so devastating. It was so hard to see what had happened. And I'm sure the same thing is happening with Hurricane Harvey right now. And so during this time when it seems as though like the world has stood still and all eyes are focused on this one geographic area, it is important to address what's going on, but it's also important that you don't lose sight of the fact that you have a specific goal ahead of you to achieve. And so to take a pause and to evaluate how your people are impacted and how you can best serve them is really important. And then the next thing is just to really proceed with caution, you know, to move forward, but to understand that, yes, this is going to impact. I mean, I can't tell you how many fundraisers I've been a part of where weather or natural disasters or, you know, several different factors come into play, the economy, and you just never know what's going to impact your fundraising. And so you kind of have to move forward regardless and knowing that something is going to impact it in a good or a bad way. And that's just normal. Not everything is going to be perfect. Not every event you put on is going to have perfect sunny 70 degree weather. I mean, as you know, you've probably attended a few events in your day where it got rained out or, you know, something happened where they couldn't put on the event. And it really did put a huge damper on what was going on with your cause. And it probably cost you a lot of money. And so there's a good chance that what's happening in Texas may impact you and may impact the dollars that you're able to raise. But I don't want you to use this as an excuse. And I don't want you to think that just because something's happening in a different part of our country or a different part of the world, that somehow that's an excuse for you not to fundraise or you not to make your calls, because we cannot have that happen. You know, we have to keep trudging along. We have to keep moving forward with our cause and keep making those phone calls. But just remember that it's okay to start those those conversations with, you know, asking them if they were impacted, asking them if they had anybody who was in connection to whatever that disaster was, or that tragedy, or the thing that was happening in our country or our world. And so a part of it that it's like, you just proceed with caution. You just move forward in a way where you can still accept what's going on, but be able to move forward. The other part that I wanted to address is just, the questions that people have around giving during this time. I notice it more and more where people will kind of deter people away from giving to larger organizations. I mean, the two largest organizations that I can think of that were, you know, people were asked to give to was the Red Cross. And, you know, I was a part of Southwest Missouri for a long time, that community. So Convoy of Hope is near and dear to my heart. And so those two organizations are, you know, immediately deployed into action to go help those people in the Houston area. And so, but what happens is that people automatically assume that their dollars are not going where they want them to go. And that is where, you know, people have to really do their due diligence on where they want their dollars to go so that they end up there. And I'm going to, defend some of these larger organizations, because I think sometimes people think that their money should go to bottled water and to, you know, food and shelter and then also clothing, you know. And when I went and volunteered in Joplin, I helped out in a shelter where they had a whole bunch of clothes that were donated. So we were sorting things out, and clothes were coming in from all over the place. And it was crazy. I mean, some of the stuff that was donated, some of it was pretty disgusting, but some of it was really good. But there was so much stuff that was coming into that town that was unnecessary. And that's why I believe that our organizations are equipped for the work that we do. And so I know sometimes people question whether or not we're equipped to do what we do, and they're always wondering whether or not we're being a good steward of the dollars that are given. And we are under a microscope as nonprofit organizations. People are watching every move we make. And just like the Red Cross and Convoy and others are being watched very closely, there's also a whole slew of nonprofit organizations, I'm going to say that in quotes, that are popping up, because immediately when a natural disaster occurs, there's a whole group of people who swarm in to take advantage of people. And this is the part that I absolutely cannot handle, is when people come out of the woodworks, whether they're tree trimmers or people who are saying that they're going to come in and clean your house or give you a bid on something that will help you, whether that's car insurance or home insurance or whatever it is. But there are scammers in every single industry who are out there looking to make a buck off of people who've been through a natural, you know, or a disaster like this. And that is really, it's scary for organizations like ours who are really out there impacting lives in a positive way and doing good work, because I think it just puts a bad name on everybody. And that's what's so unfortunate. But I also think that it rises up questions about whether or not organizations are ethical and whether or not they're doing what they're supposed to do with their dollars. And I think that that's where, when it comes down to how we brand ourselves and how we send out our information and we share what it is that we do, is so important during seasons like this, because you always want to be seen as a credible organization, a credible group that is ready to serve the people that you are called to serve. And the last thing you want to do is have people questioning your ethical standing or your morals or where your dollars go, because I mean, they will. I mean, that's just human nature, is to question where our dollars are going and what people are doing. I think that we automatically kind of think that there's this, scam with some of our organizations where there's no reason for them to question. And, I've worked obviously with some larger nonprofits, and it just kind of gets under my skin when I find out that people are you know, just questioning whether or not we're actually doing, you know, doing what we say we're going to do with the money, but it also holds us accountable. And that's important too. And I think that all of our organizations need to be held accountable so that we make sure that money isn't taken out and used improperly. But I think, you know, it's interesting, as I was talking to my coaching clients about this particular topic, I mentioned, you know, that I was, that your cause is just as important during this season, and not to shy, you know, not to shy away. Don't back down on what it is that you're doing, because now is a great time to raise awareness about the great need that is in your community. So above and beyond what's happening, you know, in Texas, that there are people in your community who are serving your people, and how can you be of service? You know, not everybody can go and be present in Texas, but how could they best serve in their own community to help people in times of need? Maybe it's not because of a hurricane, but maybe it's because of something else. And so this is where I love to be able to just raise up conversation and use this as a time to identify why people give, how they give, you know, what prompts people to give. You'll notice how many celebrity donations came in over the course of the last, you know, 7-8 days. And, you know, it's not by surprise that I saw multiple $1 million donations that were coming in one by one by one, and how there was really this, when one person saw that somebody else was giving, there was kind of this matching, this natural matching gifts that were happening. So it was not by chance that there was multiple $1 million donations that were coming in specifically for Houston. So that to me just tells me that there is a peer pressure kind of position when it comes to our fundraising. That when we can show that one person stepped up and did something really amazing and generous, it makes other people want to do the same. And so that is great when the media grabs a hold of it and pays attention to it and escalates those conversations. Now, we don't always get the media to back everything that we're doing, but we have the voice. We have our own voice to be able to share those messages. So how can you take the stories of your people and be able to kind of put a megaphone on it, multiply that voice of the one person who's serving you to multiply it into others who want to do the same. So that is a really great example of how we can use the media, how we can see how this, the disaster relief and how people are serving their peers through just word of mouth and how they can help each other. You know, when I was a part of the flood of 97 up in North Dakota, you know, I was only 16 years old. And so I was working a part-time job at Sears. And, you know, I really wasn't impacted a whole lot besides just not being in school and, you know, having to be a part of, you know, other activities where, I mean, I just missed out on some of the things during my junior year of high school. But what is crazy is the FEMA and the, you know, different organizations that stepped in. And I was actually really surprised at how much of it really did land where it needed to go. I mean, like, I could submit my hours, how many hours I missed for work. And as a 16-year-old, I got reimbursed for the hours that I missed at working at Sears, you know? So it's interesting how, you know, when these organizations do come in, how they really make it as if, I mean, everybody's lives was uprooted, but how they make it so much more tolerable during that season. So it, you know, we don't always know the behind the scenes of what's happening, but I do think that we, as a nonprofit community, can be a little bit more, you know, willing to share our stories about how we serve our people, so that we can invest a little bit more into our families and our peers to let them know where those dollars are going and why it's important to continue to give, and not let those conversations in the media about the negative reasons why people shouldn't give, you know, get those bad stories kind of out of people's minds and start sharing the positive stories of how lives have been impacted because of these great organizations and because of your great organization. So I just want to encourage you not to step away. Do not allow this to be an excuse. There's no reason why you should back off of the work that you're doing. But I do think that it is important, depending on how close you are, that you either one, pause, or you two, you know, proceed with caution and just take it one day at a time moving forward. You know, I was only 3 months away from my big event when the Joplin tornado hit. And, you know, I had a lot of money to raise. I was, you know, in that year, I believe we were somewhere around the $700,000 mark that we were raising support. And so every day, every minute of every day was so important to our success. And I knew that I couldn't pause for too long, but I probably took a full week, and it might have even been 2 weeks, where we didn't do a whole lot around our event just because of how close we were to all the activities that were going on. But eventually things calmed down and we were back to normal again. But it is, you know, you have to just play it by ear. But I would say that, you know, just do not allow it to kind of muffle what it is that you're doing, because your cause is important and your people need you. So the last thing you want to do is ignore the voices of the people that you serve, because the voice of those others that are going through a hard time are being escalated, and that their voices are louder during this season. All of your people are important to serve, and there are people out there who want to give to disaster relief, and they want to give to your cause as well. So don't for one second allow for those thoughts to creep into your mind that there is a pie. A lot of people seem to think that there's this fundraising pie. And I was actually listening to an audiobook. I was traveling this last week, so I listened to quite a bit of audiobooks on my drive. And one of the things that actually came out of Dave Ramsey's legacy journey — I really enjoy Dave Ramsey — but he was talking about how this pie — and I've heard this analogy so many times — but it's as if our fundraising was like a pie. That's what people think, is that once you take a slice out, that pie will never come back. And he said, you know, the analogy is really poor when we look at a pie, because that is not how giving works. It's more like a candle, like a Christmas service, you know, where they, or Easter service, whenever that one light, when they shut the lights off and they have the candlelight vigil, and that one light is lit and it's passed around the room. And before you know it, that one light lights another one, that lights another one, and before you knew it, the whole room is lit up. And that is exactly how giving works, is that whenever you light somebody else's candle, whenever you give to an organization or somebody gives to you, it does not dim the light of any other organization. So Hurricane Harvey is not dimming any of your lights. Your light is shining bright right now, and it is your job to continue to share your message with your people. And you are not dimming the light of Hurricane Harvey. You're not dimming the light of any other organization that's doing good work. What you are doing is you're able to spread your message, and people want to hear your message and they need to hear your message. So don't back down, and don't think that for one second that giving is like a pie, when it really is like a candle that's being passed around a room. So that is my message to you today, is to continue to knock on those doors, continue to share your message and share it proudly, and be sure to proceed with caution during these seasons of tragedy, but do not back down on your message, because your people need you, and you cannot for one second back off, because those dollars are so important for you to reach your mission. So that is my message to you today. Once again, be sure to mark your calendar and join us this Friday for the Fundraising Freedom Fellowship. And you can find all the details for that. We'll be on Zoom again, and that'll be on Facebook. And if you're not a part of the Fundraising Freedom Tribe, be sure to find us. You can just search us, and that's Fundraising Freedom Tribe. And we'd love to see you this Friday, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. And if you need anything, you just reach out to me, and you can catch me at mary@maryvalone.com. So hope you guys have a great week. Continue to raise those necessary dollars. And if you're part of a disaster organization, I right now encourage you to pay attention to how these organizations are raising funds, because I think that there's a lot to be learned about how people are giving and what you can learn from them. So do your research and pay close attention. But hope you guys go have a wonderful week. Go change the world one volunteer and $1 at a time. could your favorite charity do if money were not an object? Most nonprofit leaders say they know what to do, they just don't know how to do it. What if you had a resource that showed you step by step how to raise the funds you need to fulfill your mission? Hi, I'm Mary Valone, author of Fundraising Freedom, and I've raised millions of dollars for charity, and I'd love to show you exactly how to do it and how to recruit the right team to back you. Fundraising Freedom, 7 Steps to Build and Sustain Your Next Campaign. Available now at maryvalone.com, amazon.com, and online at all major bookstores. Get your copy and give the gift of Fundraising Freedom to your favorite charity today.